When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, hour number two, Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, talking baseball momentarily. Bottom of the hour. Well, before we get to the bottom of the hour, we'll give you a chance to win another $1,000 in this Bonus Bucks nationwide contest. Day one of this, but I believe it runs for a period of 5 weeks, so lots of opportunities. But your next will be in about 20 minutes or thereabouts. And then Scott Dockerman at 12:30 from The Athletic on the Big Ten and on Iowa Trent's plays of the day. Circus Sports sponsor those. Maybe we should be asking Matt Snyder his plays of the day on a heater with his baseball picks in the season. At least you were. Hello, Matt Snyder. Trent and Ken, good to talk to you. How are you?
Very good.
Your picks coming back down to earth? Are you staying hot?
Well, I was 0-2 on Saturday, but then 2-0 yesterday. So I guess we just pushed for the weekend.
Good stuff.
I wouldn't say on fire. Just good to very good.
Well, making money, which is the goal. Clearly, making the playoffs is the goal for the major league teams. Let's start there with a story you wrote earlier in the week, and it hasn't really gotten a ton better for either the Astros or the Twins. It's too early to panic, but here we are. More likely that the Astros or the Twins find a way to get in. I guess it would be the Twins because of the division, or what's your answer there?
Well, I mean, the Astros are only 2.5 out, though. It's at 6-11. The Rangers are in first place at 8-8.
Wild.
I think you have to trust the Astros more. I think that would be fair to say. Like, we've seen them start slow several years running here, and they always seem to right the ship. They always are in the ALCS. They've been there 7 years in a row. So I think I would have to go with the Astros on that one with the more likely. I do think that the Twins still don't have a difficult division at all. Like, I Tigers might be pretty good. You know, Royals might be pretty good. The Guardians have already lost Shane Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think any of those teams are, like, close to 90 win caliber teams at all. So if you're the Twins and you're only two games under 500 and you say we can get up into the high 80s and wins, that's still a good chance to win the division. So I think both are still perfectly fine, even if they don't look it, especially the Astros when they were 4-11 through Friday, and especially the way that things are going for the Twins right now. They don't look good at all, but it's a very small sample, especially with the Twins in only 14 games.
Carlos Santana looks absolutely cooked. I think he had an 0-for-24 stretch in there. The second worst WOBA out of anybody in baseball that has qualified as a team. They're batting under 200. I know batting average is not what it once was, Matt Snyder. I don't think you can put it up to anything then. This is a very slow start, but the right division. Here at the top of the division, though, are two teams. The Guardians, some people had some thoughts. No Bieber, though. We'll see about them. But the Kansas City Royals. Let's get into KC. This hot start. Staff has been outstanding. Bullpen looks solid. And they're swinging the bats. This Kansas City Royals team, some people kind of liked them a year ago as that under-the-radar team. Young talent coming out. It didn't happen. And then everybody jumped off the bandwagon this year. Is Kansas City for real?
In terms of being able to hang around in contention in the AL Central, yes. I don't think that they would win enough games to grab a wild card spot, but you might not even need to do that to win the Central. So we'll see how it goes with the rest of the season. But I like some aspects of this team. How about you have an MVP caliber player in Bobby Witt and a Cy Young caliber pitcher in Cole Reagan. That's good. They fill out the rotation with Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, and Wacha's been pretty good. Lugo's been great so far. They've got a homegrown starter in Brady Singer in that rotation. Reagan's, of course, they traded for. They got him for Aroldis Chapman last year. Believe that one. Offensively, Nelson Velasquez, as you guys well know, came through Iowa. The Cubs traded him for Jose Kwas last year. So the Royals, they've kind of diversified their approach between they've got a lot of homegrown players, they've got a lot of free agents that they signed on the Chiefs, and they've got guys that they traded for. within the last year, and it's all working out for them right now. I do think that they can be, if they're not a playoff team, which they might be, I still think they could win the Central, but even if they're not a playoff team, they can be a thorn in the side of playoff teams down the stretch.
I want to ask about the San Diego Padres. The fact that they, what have they taken, 4 out of 6, I want to say, from the Dodgers, when you factor that that two-game set to two-game series to start the season, and then took 2 or 3 this weekend at Dodger Stadium. Where are we in this?
It'll be 3-2, yeah.
3-2? Okay, 3-2. Beg your pardon. You're right. Where are you on this Padres team? A lot of, I mean, obviously Soto's gone. That's the big name, and he's doing out. I mean, he's been phenomenal with the Yankees so far. But might this Padres team be, because the expectations were there last year, they didn't fulfill them. Obviously, they're kind of flying under the radar. Where are you on the Pods?
Yeah, they have a good chance to be a playoff team, and then once they get there, they could make some noise. It might be similar to two years ago, where they didn't come even close to winning a division, but then they got hot in the playoffs to make the NLCS. This last week, we saw that they can be good, and they're resilient. They were down 8-0 to the Cubs and won 9-8 with 3 innings of rally worth of rallies. They took 2 of 3 against the Cubs, then 2 of 3 in Dodger Stadium against the Dodgers. That's a great week, but they hadn't won a series before that. They lost a series to the Giants. They lost a series to the Cardinals at home. They split 4 games with the Giants at home. They had, and the Giants have been pretty terrible, other than when they're playing the Padres. So they're 9-9 right now, right back where they started. Inconsistent, but there's definitely a good amount of upside there. And Tatis Jr. looks every bit the MVP candidate that I thought he would look. Manny Machado might have really gotten it going last night, coming off that offseason surgery. So, yeah, they could be dangerous for sure.
Want to go to another one of our regional teams we just don't talk about a ton unless they're really relevant, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers go into Baltimore, win the first 2 games of that series, put 11 runs up in both of them. The Brewers right now, we thought, all right, they're going to throw it around because that's what they do, and they'll be good defensively. They lead baseball right now in runs scored. I know it's early, but this Brewers team, talk about sustainability and what they're doing and what they're going to have seemingly every single time, obviously on the pitching side of things. Can this team, is there something there with Milwaukee better than just a nice start to the season?
It's possible. I mean, look, they're 7-2 on the road. They've hardly even played at home, and they're 10-4 right now. Offensively, they've been unbelievable. Like you said, you go William Contreras with MVP numbers, Christian Yelich with MVP numbers. Those aren't completely shocking when you look at this small sample and say, oh, those guys can get hot. But Bryce Turing looks amazing right now. Willie Adames is killing the ball. Joey Ortiz is killing the ball. Just up and down the lineup, they're stealing bases. They're getting pretty good pitching. Freddie Peralta, not surprising, looks amazing. But Colin Ray and Joe Ross have been great. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? And then patching together the bullpen without Devin Williams there, they've been great there too. I don't think they're this good. I mean, if you just scroll up and down the lineup, like, they're hitting .290 as a team right now with a .480 slugging. That's not that far from what the Braves did last year. And if you look at the personnel, it's not even close to being good enough to do that over the full season. So I expect them to come back to earth. I don't know how soon it's going to be, but I don't think they're this good. I do think it's possible that they'll win the Central again, but that's not who I would bet on right now. I just think it's only 14 games in. But, yeah, they've looked great.
Yankees have the best record in baseball at 12-4. Their best pitcher is also on the IL, and they're going to be getting him back at some point in Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
Is this team for real? Can they sustain this? Can they?
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, they're on pace to win like 122 games. They're not that good,
right?
But they're really good. I mean, to bank being 8 games over 500 at this point, and you look at the offense, it looks like Anthony Volpe is
huge,
making that step forward into stardom. And when you have him in front of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, who by the way has not gotten it going at all, then they've got the power through the middle with Giancarlo Stanton and Anthony Rizzo. Gleyber Torres hasn't really hit at all yet, but he will. He's still right in the middle of his prime years. Verdugo hasn't done much. If he's going to be down in the 7 or 8 hole, that's a great hitter to have down that low in the lineup. They have a really deep lineup. There's a lot of upside there. They can piece through games where maybe they're not hitting for power. their on-base percentage has been great. Juan Soto has made a world of difference in how many pitches they take, and they tire opposing starting pitchers out. And, yeah, Cole's hurt, but how many teams are not missing a frontline starter at this point? Between the Braves, Dodgers, Guardians, Orioles, Cubs, almost everybody's missing a frontline starter. So Carlos Rodon, by the way, he's been really good. He's mixed in a cutter. He looks good. Marcus Stroman's been pretty good. They have talent there. We just thought there were a lot of question marks behind Cole, and that's why his injury was such a big deal, because you lose a guy who's not a question mark. But, I mean, if he's going to come back and the way they've been playing, yeah, they're great.
We've heard a lot of complaints this season about the new jerseys, as it should be. It's an embarrassment that you have this. And now there's been some talk about the baseballs. Kenley Jansen came out and said that the quality of the actual baseballs, the actual, yes, thing that you use to play the sport, has diminished throughout the course of his career. Said it's just not the same than it once was. Is this something that you're hearing across baseball, and this a real concern? Uniforms is one thing, but the actual baseballs, that's a completely other. Is this real?
We've only really heard chirping from Kenley and Pete Fairbanks when he had a meltdown in Colorado. As far as I know, that's about it. But, you know, maybe there's behind the scenes, maybe there's off the record talks. It takes a lot for me to be moved into guys complaining about the equipment. but Kenley is a well-respected veteran. So I'll start to listen there. We'll see. I will say one thing on that front, and I don't know why we have to be so committed to this, but for years and years and years, Rob Manfred and anybody else who works in the Major League Baseball offices have continued to say we're committed to every single ball being hand-stitched. It seems to me that's a way to have things be inconsistent when you can just have a machine make the exact same ball over and over and over. I don't know why we're so committed to it has to be hand-stitched and crafted instead of just have a machine and put a setting on and have them all be the exact same. But, hey, that's whatever. That's neither here nor there at this point.
Is there a manager starting to feel his seat get a little hot or too early?
It should be too early, but Skip Shoemaker with the Marlins, like, Kim Ng is out.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's the one who hired him. And they had that awful start, and then it came out that everybody thought his option was picked up for next year. And then now there's reporting that turns out, like, oh, by the way, they took that away, so his option's not being picked up for next year. So now he's a lame duck. It seems to me a new front office with this bad of a start could totally cut bait on him. I don't think it's his fault. They didn't have a good offense to begin with, and the entire rotation's hurt. Like, literally an entire rotation's hurt. But I do think that he has to be feeling it right now.
Matt, you and I are about the same age. If you would have told either of us as young baseball fans that Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, it would take until 2024
before
the Mets would retire their number, and neither of them would be Hall of Famers, we would have been absolutely baffled with it. But
ridiculous.
Really cool moment over the weekend.
It was. Yeah, I mean, you go back to the mid-80s, and obviously they both had their demons and were able to bounce back from them in some ways. But, yeah, mid-80s or so, it looked like both were surefire Hall of Famers. I mean, you could still probably make an argument. I always say Prime Pedro Martinez is the best pitcher that we ever saw or ever will see. But that real quick two-year span there of Dwight Gooden, you could probably say he was better than Pedro Martinez. It was just so short.
Yeah, that's a really good topic for this song. Prime Pedro.
Oh, man.
I mean, Randy Johnson.
Yeah, it's
just a really good one.
Talk about the Hall of Fame. Anytime you talk about the Hall of Fame or greatest pitchers ever, there's a component of longevity that has to be considered.
Yeah.
But if you said at his absolute best, you said to one season, are you taking like 1984 Dwight Gooden or are you taking 1999 Pedro Martinez? It's close.
It is. You know what? I'll let you go first. I'll take whoever you don't pick. That's one of those.
You can't go wrong.
No, you really can't. That's a good one. All right, Ollie Marmol. I guess that's where I was going. Marmol, is he safe with the Cardinals?
Surely, because they went through so much turnover in that short period of time. Like, they fired Matheny and then they fired Schilt really quickly, abruptly, and then at one point. I know they were paying two managers for several seasons, and there might have been an overlap of three managers. I'd have to check on that, but kind of feels like 7-9 is not 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, four games, it does seem like you're down four games pretty quick into the season, but they're only two games under 500. It's only 16 games. I don't think that they would be so hasty just yet. But, you know, now that you mention it, if we got deep into the summer and they fell pretty far back into last, you'd have to go back a long, long time to find two consecutive last place finishes for the Cardinals. I have to imagine that things would get a little crazy there.
Every 4 or 5 days, Matt, we are, I don't want to say put in a spotlight, but we get to see Angel Hernandez behind the plate.
Oh, my God, is he bad.
How? How can this continue to happen? I understand strong union, all those things. He's awful at his job. How can he?
Did you see him on Friday night?
It was awful. But I felt so bad for Wyatt Langford.
Yes.
You see that ball? It's not close. How does this continue to happen? And it's not just an Angel Hernandez.
He did a good job to take those pitches. They were outside.
Yes, right.
And I know sometimes with the K-zone square on there, it raises our standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes there's a pitch that's like 1 inch off the plate, and we go, oh, how can you miss that? Why is it 98
Guilty.
Miles per hour? It's 1 inch.
That is my partner, Ken Miller. Yes.
Yeah. But those weren't. Those were like 8 to 10 inches off, and it was over and over. Like you could see him missing one and then kind of recalibrate, and then, okay, now I'm going to get – no, it was like he digs his heels in. I don't understand it. I feel like the league – what's interesting to me is he filed that lawsuit against Major League Baseball for discriminatory practices about him not getting deeper into the playoffs and getting more World Series and everything, and he lost the case. So it seems to me that Major League Baseball was able to prove he never has been good enough on merit.
Yeah.
If they can make that case and win that case, why can't they make the case to fire him?
Right.
That's where I kind of feel like there's some kind of divide.
Does Pedro Grifol keep showing up for work if it keeps going like this? I mean, why would you? I know there's only 30 jobs. But
he's making a lot of money. It has to be miserable, but he's still making a lot of money. And I have to imagine that they're going to have plenty of kids come up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Even guys that aren't highly touted prospects. You're still in Chicago, great city. If you like working with youngsters, and he hasn't been a manager much, you know, that's another part of it. You can find positives in there, but yeah, it's going to be, if he's strictly is looking at wins and losses, he's in for a long, long season.
I'm guessing Jason Benetti's glad the way it worked out, right?
Right.
I mean, can you imagine
maybe
showing up to watch that? Oh my God, brutal. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Matt, thank you. Appreciate, love the conversation. Talk to you in a week's time. Thank you, Matt Snyder.
Sounds good. Take care.
Yep, see you, buddy. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, as we talk a little MLB. That White Sox team is just awful.
Don't worry, though. They are getting ready to sign Tommy Pham to a minor league.
Saw that. Mentioned that to Sean this morning.
So they got to figure it out.
Yep.
They'll turn it right around.
Plan the parade.
I like Tommy Pham,
too. Tommy Pham's on his way.
He must not have many options if he's going to sign there.
Right? All right, Trent. Speaking of money, how about $1,000 bonus bucks? Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Just past 12:30 on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's talk some Hawks, some Big Ten, and some NFL draft with our friend Scott Docterman from The Athletic. He's got all of them covered. Doc, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Absolutely. We're looking forward to the draft a week from Thursday night. Spring game this weekend. We'll bring the Hawks spring practices to a close. So let's start there. I guess one of the storylines, Doc, and it's an unfortunate storyline, but and it's going to be the transfer portal, and it's going to open up and what they're going to do, some comings, some goings. They've got too many kids on scholarship. You wrote a piece today at The Athletic. How soon after after spring practice is over do we find out what the Hawkeyes roster is going to look like as far as getting down to below 85, assuming that they're going to bring a couple of guys in?
That's a great question. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a couple leave this week because the portal opens up tomorrow, and I would not be surprised at all if a couple of people decide to enter the portal because there's no, you know, you got to make sure you're hitting the right time. And if you know, even 4 to 5 days could be a problem if you're not in it. So I could see a couple of doing that. I'm sure right after spring is when they'll have conversations regarding medical scholarships, mm-hmm. Somebody who may or may not be able to perform. And so sometimes that backfires, as we've seen in the NFL draft with Latu from UCLA, that he was deemed medically unable to continue at Washington, and he's going to be a first rounder for UCLA.
Right. Yeah.
So some of this is just an opportunity to get down. And then third, I mean, I think Iowa needs to get maybe a player or two mm-hmm. in the portal. So I think that's also a possibility. So they may be trying to get rid of more than just. I guess that's a horrible thing to say. That they might be trying to get down below 85 and maybe losing a player or two more than maybe they expected.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something, and I believe backup quarterback at minimum is something talked about. You know, there was the Ohio State kid. There was social media rumblings and rumors about that. But see, it feels like that's all that it was. But a guy like that would make sense, right? A guy with remaining eligibility can come in, be your backup quarterback. We know Deacon Hill's not the guy. Marco Lyonnais got to be able to prove that he can throw the football. Where are you when you go in limited scholarships looking for a backup quarterback?
I think you can do it, now. I mean, I think you figure out, you hear what's going on, and you go do it. And if you secure it tomorrow, if that person enters the portal tomorrow and is here and able to watch the spring game on Saturday, do it. Because you're not going to have many opportunities. It's going to be kind of a shark fest out there for a couple of these players. And I think that's really what Iowa really needs to look at here is if anybody's available, go ahead and get them. And I think part of it is certainly you want to get a minimum, a backup quarterback in number two. If not, provide major competition at number one, mm-hmm. Because you're talking about a new offense with a new offensive coordinator he's not beholden to anybody. I mean, your current quarterback can't, really do anything other than drop back a couple of steps and throw the football. He looks okay doing that, but, we don't know what he's going to be like in September, October, November, and he's shown that he's got an injury history. So I think if you get somebody and you make sure he's in place and very competitive, tell him, look, we've got an incumbent that we like, but you're going to compete and the best guy will play. And that's how I would start the conversation.
Mm, agree with both of you on that position. What about wide receiver, Doc?
Yeah, that one probably is a little bit trickier. I think they might need somebody in that position. I don't know if they'll be able to get anybody in that position. That's going to be a challenge. I don't. Again, now you're starting to mess with the numbers in the transfer uh-huh. portal. If you're going, quarterback is one thing. Getting a wide receiver. Can they contribute? Are they going to be good? Are they going to start? I think they have to be a starter for you if you're going to go do that. Or somebody that you can say, look, we will help you reach your scholarship number through NIL this fall, and then we'll put you on scholarship in January. So maybe like the Charlie Jones type of situation when you left Buffalo.
Anything defensively? We know they're stacked up. There isn't a whole lot of room. Could there be anything, though, even looking for a depth piece, anything defensively they'd be looking at?
I think, they could. I think somebody like a defensive tackle type might not be bad mm-hmm. for Iowa to put number four there. But this is a developmental program, and they really like to make sure that players that have spent their time in the system that they have an opportunity to compete. I mean, when you have two bona fide starters in Y.A. Black and Aaron Graves, plus Jeremiah Pittman, who's going to take that next step as a rotational piece, then it's going to be, who can step up to be number four. And it could be a walk-on like Luke Gaffney. Maybe it could be one of the younger players that could step up and be kind of a rotational piece. So I don't know if anybody in the portal would really want that opportunity because you're not going to be a starter. And at this point, that's usually what you're looking for, unless you're like a redshirt freshman and you're just looking for a chance to play. So, again, kind of like with the wide receiver topic, you're looking at, okay, now you've got to replace another person when you bring somebody like that in.
Hmm. Doc, is there a team, I know it's spring, but we're starting to see some over-under totals float out there. Was there a Big Ten team that you thought at some point, maybe late in the year, that file this one away, this team's going to be much better next year? Now, maybe not at the top of your head, you don't know how the portal went, both coming and going. But was there a team like that last year that you thought, this team's a year away? that you can think of?
That's a great question, because there's a lot of question marks within the Big Ten. I mean, I think Ohio State, I don't think they count. They never count in this type of discussion, but I think that they improve themselves more than any other team. Mm-hmm. And I'm anxious to see what they do at quarterback, because Will Howard, they brought in from Kansas State, and then they also have Devin Brown, who's performed really well in the spring. And if Will Howard is the starter or considered the starter, will Devin Brown leave? And then there will be a huge market for him. And, you know, and then likewise, they brought in two major freshmen, and, you know, well, I could see one of them maybe taking the leave. But you know, with the four new teams coming in, yeah, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty there. And then you throw on the holdovers. You know, Penn State, are they going to be dramatically better than they were last year? I don't know. I think Iowa's capable of making a jump. I think Maryland might be, depending on their schedule. Like Indiana and Michigan State, Purdue to an extent, you know, they have new coaches. And Michigan lost so many people, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm sitting here where there's a lot of uncertainty in the Big Ten. And I think it's kind of interesting. It gives us a lot to talk about and discuss.
That's for sure.
Right now it's Ohio State, then Oregon, then just about everybody else.
We find out this weekend that Patrick McCaffrey will be going where his brother is in Indiana, Indianapolis. He'll be a Butler finishing up his career. Tony Perkins at Missouri. What about Iowa? What about the men's team? We know the women's team looks like they're rolling, as Lucy Olsen will be coming in for a visit tomorrow. What are you hearing on the men's front in the transfer portal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that they're looking at a couple of guys. I don't really have specifics on that. I'm kind of looking at a really tough story that I'm working on right now, so I'm kind of brain dead on that part of it. But, you know, they do obviously need to replace Tony Perkins, who went to Missouri this morning, and Patrick McCaffrey, who went to Butler. This is a team that's, like what we talked about with football, that they are really focused on, you know, they've got to make some major strides, or they could get left behind. They've had a pretty good run, statistic, you know, and wins loss wise for a while. But I think next year, I mean, depending on what Peyton Sanford does, I mean, this could be a year where you're going, ooh. So what they do in the portal is going to be really impactful for how they are moving forward. I mean, last week I was at the PCA meeting and Fran McCaffrey stepped up and said that it was going to be, you know, that Tony Perkins had a market value of $500,000. I know a lot of people took exception to that. Yep. And, you know, and some ignorant people decided to say, oh, I wouldn't pay him $500. Well, that's why you're not in at college athletics, are you? I mean, because the market is the market.
Yeah.
Now, did Fran embellish? Is it more than that? Yeah, I that's probably fair, but I don't think it's less than
$300,000. No.
And that's what people just seem to forget, that this is a major business, and if you're not in it, you're out of it, and that's the worst place to be.
No question about it. Yeah, ends up at Mizzou. Didn't see a price tag that was associated. Doc, and if I'm prying, tell me. You mentioned you're writing a really tough story. Tough that it's going to be difficult for the focus of the story to read, or tough because you got to do so much research?
Yeah, it's a combination of about Noah Shannon and then the gambling situation.
Can't wait to read
So it is. I'm weaving a lot of different things here, and I'll be honest with you, the last few days has been just kind of this bang my head against the wall. There's so much information, and trying to make sure it's not, you know, looks like a book and reads like legalese. So,
are you getting cooperation from the, from the DCI and from that side of the story?
I got a press release, so everybody else did. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, it just with every, you know, this has been so much that I've written about lately, and this is another heavy chapter. So, yes, I haven't paid enough attention to Iowa's potential for a recruit in basketball. So, kind of moving on the football front right now.
When can we expect to read that?
It could be as early as tomorrow. It depends on what my editors think. So it could be tomorrow, it could be later. But yeah, a lot of pain on the Noah Shannon front.
Yeah,
I mean, he was really collateral damage on this thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We learned today that Randy Duncan is an Iowan who went first overall in his draft. Caitlin Clark will join him tonight. We think that's the only two Iowans that have gone first overall. There was a USFL guy, Trent, right?
Yeah.
Can't think of his name.
Mike Haight.
Joined those two. That's a pretty rarefied air for an Iowan to go first overall in their respective draft stock.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. You know, we've run out of our superlatives to describe Caitlin Clark over the last 3 to 4 years, but tonight's kind of the cherry on top. And you know, after a magnificent SNL skit the other night, so I expect her to be to kind of wow everybody tonight. Going to the Indiana Fever, and yeah, it's I would imagine her career would be wind up a little bit better than Randy Duncan's did. I don't want to dismiss him too much, but I think she'll be a star from day one.
No doubt. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it as always. Talk to you in a week. Thank you, Scott Dockerman. Look forward to reading that piece at The Athletic on the gambling scandal. I look forward to it. Thanks, Doc.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. See you, buddy. Scott Dockerman, as we check in on the Hawks, that should be a good one.
Oh, absolutely.
Story's not over. Story's not dead by any means. Just as which way does it go? When do we start finding out? Will there be lawsuits, class action suits? They all get together. They piecemeal it. Fascinating to see how it goes. And if there's any prices we know that there have been some prices paid. Mm-hmm. Will those be the only ones? I don't believe that's going to be the case, but we shall see. It's 12:45. Trent had an unbelievable week last night. Or last week, rather.
It was a good one.
It was a good week. Let's start off on the right foot. You've got no NBA.
Nope.
A lot of baseball.
We've got plenty of that.
Is that where you're staying?
As of now, I'm looking at some hockey.
Oh, boy. 12:45, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Alec Bussey, who covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com, joins us tomorrow at 11:30. He just tweeted out Matt Campbell's press conference. Carson Willick, who started a couple of games last year, linebacker, out for the year, tore his ACL. So he says there's a small chance that he'll come back, but in all likelihood, it is a year deal. So more recap the press conference tomorrow with Bussey. He joins us at 11:30. Trent, plenty of baseball for a Monday night.
Yes, absolutely.
What will you be wagering on?
I told you I looked at a little hockey. Didn't get there with anything, so relax over there. Though the one time I put your Jets in the playoffs when I picked against them, it was cold.
Yep.
It was not cold last week. Last week, up 15.5 units.
Jeez.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
Definitely hope to ride the hot streak and believe 23-14 our number in baseball so far this year. It's making some money. Let's do it again. Two games tonight. Two dogs. Game one, 6:10 first pitch. It's the Mets playing host to the Pirates. Martin Perez is on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Perez is not great, but he's really good early in seasons. That's one thing I learned. Remember when he was with the Twins and got off
right?
to a good start?
Okay, yeah.
And he's doing it again this year. 1.90 ERA against Hauser. Give me the Pirates plus 113 with pick number one. Pick number two, we go out west where the Mariners, slow start for them and a slow start for George Kirby. ERA north of 8 early on in the season against Frankie Montas. I don't know if this is a resurgence for Montas. Remember 2 years ago when everybody in baseball felt like they're trying to get him from the A's?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't gone very well for Frankie since that point in time, but he's off to a good start himself. Give me the Reds, plus 132. Two picks, Pirates plus 113, Reds plus 132.
Relatively speaking, the A's are off to a good start this year. They're going to fly past, at least they're trending. They're over-under number, what was what, 59.5, I want to say, when the season started? They're not the worst team in baseball. The other team in Chicago is the worst team in baseball, the Southsiders.
They have that locked up.
Yeah, but Tommy Pham.
Here he comes.
Hold your water. Tommy Pham's coming. All right, so are Murph and Andy. In fact, they're going to be here in 5 minutes. The Drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. And the Morning Rush starts it all over again every morning at 6. We're Miller and Condon, and we're weekdays on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.